Good morning, everyone. That rendition from a friend of mine, Chris Stapleton. The Star Spangled Banner, the results of where we are today, the rocket's red glare bursting in air, what it took to bring us to this day 250 years later. Now, we understand that was wrote during the War of 1812, but some things just kind of transcend time. Good morning. I'm John Warden, and this is Real Talk, and happy Independence Day. We pray and hope you understand what that means and what it took to get there, and I am so glad today and honored to have two fine gentlemen that I esteem very highly that are not only patriots locally in what they serve and how they do, but also a heritage of patriotism. And that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about what it took to get us here. We're going to do a little history lesson. Let's talk about where we are, and then let's talk about where we're going. And maybe how do we keep another 250 years? How do we get it done? To my left, a very esteemed gentleman. And I'm not going to call him by his title today. I'm going to call him by who he is, Mr. John Geddes.
Yes.
And to my right is there's only one man in the room called Manning.
That's right.
And you know that speaks of all the substance that it is. Mr. Manning Kimmel, it's a joy, gentlemen, to have you here today. I thank you for your time and a pleasure to be here. So as an introduction, Mr. Geddes, I'm going to start with you of what you just saw. If that doesn't stir you a little bit, your wood's wet.
Yeah. Chris Stapleton knows how to make bring emotion out of anything, but especially the Star Spangled Banner. And to see it in that context that we did, and you know, the Super Bowl and what everybody celebrates every year of just who we are as American in the sporting field, it's just always it's a real passionate way to look at our community, our country.
Yeah, absolutely. Mr. Manning, your thoughts?
When you see 250, 300-pound football players sitting there with tears in their eyes, everybody standing up, that gigantic American flag, culminated by a flyover, I mean, and Chris Stapleton, I don't think you could put into words what that means to people. It's an emotion.
You know, 250 years later, we're stirred here today, sitting here about the cause and the effect of freedom and what it took to get here. What I like to do, gentlemen, before we talk about, again, where we're going, I like to talk a little bit about where we've been. Let's start back in 1775, real quick. Just a real quick history lesson for those of you out here so we understand. A gentleman by the name of Patrick Henry stood up before the Second Virginia Convention, and he raised a thought. The day was March 23rd, 1775, and he stood up and he made a speech. And throughout that, I won't go through the whole speech, but he said something remarkable. Give me liberty or give me death. In some 14, 16 months later, the Declaration of Independence was created. And so in that passion and that stirring is who we are. The first thing I'm going to say to before we go any further is we stand on the very tempest of that emotion, of that declaration, of that power to which we stand here today, arguably the most powerful nation in the world. As far as freedom goes, we are. We are the greatest nation for freedom that we can find, in spite of our differences, in spite of our separations, and we're not going to be political here today. It's not the goal of this show, but it is a passion that we can walk and talk and breathe in a way that a lot of people on this earth don't have the idealisms to do, or the ability, or the freedom. And so when we talk through that, and you understand who and where we are, the Declaration of Independence, to declare freedom and what that means, a nation, individual, with liberty and justice for all. And we'll read a couple of excerpts from the Declaration of Independence as we come forward. But gentlemen, before we even start into that, I'm going to go about this backwards. First of all, what we're about to learn about, what we understand this to be, how do we keep it? You know, I like to start with where we're going in the future. We know where we are now. We understand the differences. We understand the separation. We understand sometimes the declarations of racial injustice and whatever injustice it may be that you may claim and have an opinion on. In all that, it's kind of like being married. Let me just back up. Now, we're married men in the room, so when you go home, and not always do you see eye to eye, but inevitably, well, you have a perfect wife, I'm sure, because, listen.
I don't look mine in the eye. I
understand completely, but when you think of the atmosphere, we're talking atmospheric right now, and how you do and what you get through and what it took for us to get to where we are, and the blood and the efforts and the patriot and the fear and the nobility of these gentlemen and what it took to get us here. We sit here today as community, let's just say leaders and parts of the leaders. Okay, here's where we are, and here's what we're trying to maintain. Mr. Geddes, yes. Sir, where are we in the community today, and where are we going?
Well, it's a great question, and it's a question I think that's been asked and answered for generations in our country for 250 years that we're celebrating. But, you know, it's never been perfect. I enjoy reading, as you do, people that have stepped up in historical times in our country and said words that inspired those still alive today.
Yes, sir.
And when you look at all that our country has been through, some of it, you know, of their own making, some of it impressed upon us and we answered upon or answered to, we have a history of answering the call. We have a history of answering the call when we're dealing with foreign powers that act inappropriately. We have a history of answering the call when looking at the deepest, darkest parts of our history and rectifying that and making things happen through the civil rights legislation and all that that's
happened. Absolutely.
And so, you know, one of the quotes that I love, and I will butcher it because I can never get it right, is one that Barack Obama said, is that we know that the moral arc of the universe bends towards justice in this country. One of the quotes that I love, it's my favorite, and I think it's probably the greatest piece of American literature, is the Gettysburg Address.
Yes.
You know, when the President Lincoln gets up and he says, you know, 47 years ago, our forefathers brought forth onto this continent a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. That is just a powerful, powerful, to me, statement, especially in the context in which that address was made on the fields of the Battle of Gettysburg.
Correct.
Holding a
yes,
country
sir.
Together when we were fighting each other. We're not doing that today with pitchforks and guns and things of that nature, but we do think, I do believe that we need to recognize that as a people, not as a country, but as a people that call this our country, we have a lot more in common than separates us, and that people that look much more like, in my opinion, like God, is more interested in our future than our past, we'll be okay. And as long as we can keep our eyes on the future and who we feel like we can be, we're going to be just fine. That's the story of our country for some 250 years now.
Pretty Manny? Good. Pretty good.
And you got to follow that. So you go right on.
I can't follow that. I can never follow them, you know, John Geddes. The thing that I don't think we appreciate, because we don't have any point of reference as to what freedom actually means. When you take a look at what's going on in the world and you see how certain nations are so oppressed. I mean, we talk about Iran. Look what those people are going through over there. I mean, they have no freedoms whatsoever. They're not free to dress the way they want. They can't have public assembly. I mean, to be able in this country, when you are upset about something, to go down to the nation's capital, get a permit, sit down there and protest until you just can't protest anymore, and go home and resume your life, is not something you're going to find in most nations. And that is something to be appreciated that's called freedom. And what bothers me the most about what's going on in this world today is the disagreements they had back in the days of the American Revolution, because the politicians back then were just as vitriolic as they are today. The difference is we have this 24/7 media, so you can't get away from it. Back in the days of George Washington, John Adams, and the rest of them, they could argue and argue and argue and go home. They didn't turn on a radio, didn't turn on TV, and get blasted, you know, for another 24 hours. We don't have that luxury today. And I'm in the media business, and I know that my industry contributes to this day in and day out. And it's hurting this country. We need to listen to each other. We need to realize that we have differences. And the whole thing is this word called compromise, which is so rarely done in today's world. I mean, I think in our community where we live, we do a fairly good job of that.
I agree with that.
We've been blessed with good political leadership for as long as I've lived here, right? But when you take a look at what's going on in the country, the examples that are set to for our fellow countrymen down in Washington, D.C., it's embarrassing. And the media is what feeds that. It feeds it.
Well, I tell you, I agree with everything you're saying, gentlemen. And, you know, again, the beauty of this country is everyone has a right to express themselves in the way that they deem necessarily. And I believe in the freedom of speech, and I believe in that freedom of application. You're talking about news media, and you talk about in general. In today's world, it's social media. We're talking about everything. Everybody's got an opinion why, and you want to show things that defame and that you tear apart certain aspects of where this country and the foundation of which the forefathers and their writings of John Hancock and Thomas Jefferson and the early on writers, they had one thing in mind. What's good for all people? You know, Mr. Geddes, you're mayor of this wonderful city. You do a great job at what you do, but you care for all people. I've watched your career, and I've seen and I've noted some of your comments, and I listen very intently and carefully how you carry yourself. But your goal is for all. We don't separate people. Mr. Geddes, as we sit here today, sir, with much respect and deem to both you gentlemen, as I've stated, in what you stand for and who you are, what do we need to fix?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? You know, is it a heart fix? Yeah, absolutely, it's a heart fix. What ails us? There's a lot of things that ail us. What I think we really need to see more of on a local level is leadership. We need people to stand up and say, you know, this is good, this is not good. This is who we are, this is not who we are. And that's tough to do in a lot of ways because, as Manning mentioned, you have social media, and it gets a little hard on families and friends. And certainly it creates rabbit trails that people start chasing down that have nothing really to
Absolutely.
Do with the issue at hand.
Yes.
But I tell you, I mean, I've been in Rock Hill since I was 13 years old, and yeah, there have been a lot of people in this community that have had a huge impact on me. There are a lot of people in this community today that have a huge impact on me. Some of them are younger than I am, which is a different scenario I'm not really used to. I feel good about where we are as a community and where we're headed. I think that the Rock Hill, this good town, as I like to remind everyone, has a promise that we haven't seen, at least I haven't seen in my lifetime, for all of our people. Opportunities abound. We've done a very good job of preparing our community for who we can become. And, you know, hopefully other leaders will step forward and help us get there. You don't have to be an elected official to be a leader.
Absolutely.
Lord, you're probably not an elected official if you're an effective leader. And that really
I love that
is
statement.
Something to, we all need to sort of focus on.
Yeah. Manning, I got to ask you. When you watched this video here and it was a naval shot, I know it had to prick some memories of a very well-served application. And I know it stirs up probably a little frustration in the processes, too, just because of what I know. But at the same time, too, when you look and you see the salute and the respect and the understanding, you know, one of the greatest things I think we're missing in today's world, you're talking about media. I think they've lost the respect for the cause of what they are. The idea of effectively declaring the Walter Cronkite given the news. Mm. I'll never forget to this day when we stepped out on, I was a child, 1969, I think it was, when we stepped out on the moon, and I watched him remove his glasses and sit back, and he was overwhelmed as much as he was. You remember the scene. And when I saw that, it was the warmth of pride and appreciation. It's almost like grandparents or a parent having a birth of something, and the first time that babies get put in your hand. I got a son in the room, does production, and I've got seven children and grandchildren. And when you see them for the first time, and that's laid in you, and it is within our grasp, our hold, How do we grow this baby up from here, Manny?
Well, what I would suggest would probably never be accepted. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you think about the days when we used to have a draft. People didn't like it, and it came at the wrong time in our history. But you take a look at a country like Israel. You have a required period of service
Correct.
In their military over there. And that gives everybody an appreciation as to what that country is all about. Now, if you don't fit in with the military, that's fine. What about working with something like VISTA, where you have 2 years of public service, working in communities that have got nothing? Because I don't think, as I said before, we appreciate what we have as Americans. I have had the opportunity to visit other countries. And let me tell you, when you come back from visiting other countries, you are awful happy to be an American and have the freedoms that you have. I just think we this appreciation has got to be kind of drilled into us somehow, absent social media, absent what goes on in the classroom. We need to have some system whereby we as Americans, at a young age, where we can really penetrate their mind, understand what this country is all about. What form that takes, I don't know, but I think it needs to be required, some kind of required service, whatever it is.
You know, I registered for the draft. I remember going down to do it. I remember my father looking at me and saying, he just was scared because he didn't know where we were going at the time. But I remember doing it. And at the time, I could remember walking into the post office. That's where you did all that at the time. And you filed out that paperwork when you mentioned that. And the idea was, well, okay. And I got to thinking about the people in the past that I'd watched walk through and I'd learned through history, which I love. I love history. It's one of my favorite subjects. Mm-hmm. And to know that you're standing on the very ground of those, you know, this facility and this for all that it is. And you think about those possibilities. I was able to go a couple of years ago up into Boston, and I stood on where the first shots were fired, and I stood on it. And I'm going to tell you something, I had tears down my face like these men were watching this football game, the big, strongest guys in the world. And let me tell you something. Let me tell you who was tough. The boys on this paper that signed this thing here, the men that signed this the declaration, these boys were tough because they were going to lose their lives over it. It wasn't whether or not they suited up in a football game, which because of those freedoms, here we are, and I love that. But there's something passionate in me that grows when you stand out there and you say, wait a minute, this is where the first blood was shed. This is where the Concord and went through the traces. And I had some guys with me. We were up there to go on a ski trip, just the guys from church to get away. But the more interested they got and the more I talked to the passion, now all of a sudden they didn't want to go jet skiing anymore. They wanted to get in there. Let's just go over here to Concord and let's go to the different places and the sites that we went. And by the time it was all said and done, there's some old big old guy there, couldn't hardly get through the door, and he's crying his eyes out. And he's like, I never knew. When you saw John Revere and you saw the two lanterns in the place of history in the church, one if by water, two if by.
I see.
So, and when you look at those etiquettes of what it took for those people to do that, I think we have the position of the same stand today. I think in today's world, and Manning, I want you to speak to this. You and I have had conversations about voting and not showing up and all the capabilities, and I know that. Well, I want you to jump all over this, brother, and all over all of us if we have to for not showing up. And in that, it has to be a stirring. There has to be a give me liberty or give me death for us to continue. There has to be a passion. And I say, let it begin in us. Let it begin in me. Manning.
Do you remember the video pictures of the people in Iraq when they were able to go vote and they came out with that little blue stain on their fingers showing? And they couldn't believe that they had actually had an opportunity to vote on something. So here we are in America. We beat our chests because we had a 20% turnout. 20%? That's awful. You think about the men and women who offered themselves to be candidates, what they went through to raise money, to go out there and talk to everybody they could, and we get a 20% turnout? And then you talk to people that don't even know what the issues are? I mean, we have people that we all know around this table that if you ask them what the heck is going on in Rock Hill, South Carolina, they don't have the foggiest idea. Now, how can you be a responsible citizen of this country or of this community if you don't know what's going on? And if you do know what's going on, why aren't you participating some way? I mean, the great thing about Rock Hill, this is a roll-up-your-sleeves kind of town. If there's an initiative going on, you're going to see citizens jumping in to be part of it. I don't care what it is. That's been the history of Rock Hill as long as I've been here. I mean, Empowering Division started back in Betty Joe Ray's day, back in the 1980s. Look at it. It's continuing today. Here we are in 2026 because we've had good political leadership and people stayed involved because they love their city and their community. But we still have too many people, particularly those who are migrating here, who don't understand, you know, the basic fiber of this community, and that translates into voting. Get involved.
And you know, it really boils down to this. You understand countries, and we spoke about the political aspects of things and the joining. Now, understand that America didn't do this on their own.
Oh, that's right.
There was a country.
France.
Okay, and let me tell you, there's something called the Statue of Liberty that they recognized the liberty in the spirit of which things were done. And what they did was they said, we're going to give you a gift. And on that gift, there was a wonderful, the New Colossus, if you recall what that was, by Emma Lazarus. Now, Lazarus, if you recall in the biblical terms, was the gentleman that was Lazarus come forth. I'm just going to leave that right there for all you biblical scholars, and I'm going to let the Spirit of God handle that. But let me tell you what it says. Give me your tired. Give me your poor. Your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. The wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest, toast to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. Now, you're talking about this being a melting pot, Mayor, and as community leaders and all this other, and you are have a mass influx of all parts of the world. In its own little world, in the world of Rock Hill, South Carolina, York County, surrounding carriers, this is what we have. Now, how do we bless them? How do we keep them? And at the same time, how do we maintain a presence for my 3-year-old little girl, Millie Grace? How do we maintain this? Here's where we are. We know through experience and through history of how we got there. But I got to ask you, how do we open up the doors to let freedom ring from here on out? We stand here as elder statesmen in the communities. How do we pass that torch that she speaks of, and she holds this light as a mass? So in and of ourselves, we're called to be patriots in the same magnitude, fighting different wars and battles and different, let's just say, spirits of things and how it's done. In the beauty of freedom comes a complicated mass of opinionated, and I want my way. I know. I kind of want my way too. Mayor, how do we go from here?
Well, I think we go back and look at history, right? So it's easy for us today to talk about our country and think about our country as it exists today. And when you read the words from the Statue of Liberty, which are very compelling, you recognize that what's being celebrated is not North America where we reside, but the ideals and the idea of America. You know, we weren't born American. We were a melting pot of those that brought here. I was born in America, but my ancestors were not. And when we start talking about our country and we look back over history, we have to realize we started with 13 colonies. And then we grabbed land and we bought land and we did things, or our forefathers did things, to grow out to make it to the West Coast. And then they went up to Alaska and then they went across to Hawaii. So, you know, does the future of our country grow beyond the borders that we are? Do the ideals and the idea of being American, are we hamstrung with the borders in which we live now? I don't think so. I think these ideals are universal ideals. I think that's why they resonate so well. I think that's why our forefathers, when they drafted the Declaration of Independence, when they drafted the Constitution, the Bill of Rights they attached to the Constitution to protect certain things, you know, I mean, people don't write like that anymore. People don't stand up and talk like John Kennedy, who said, we choose to go to the moon not because it's easy, but because it is hard. That is the ethos of the country we grew up in and we believe in. Are we that same country? I would say yes. I think it's just different. You know, you mentioned Walter Cronkite looking at man land on the moon. Well, up until that period of time in all of human history, we always wondered what the moon was. You know, was it made of cheese? Remember the old joke?
That's right.
All those things.
Was it really round or flat?
That's right. And then we start to see all these diseases and things that our medical community came in and cured, you know, polio eradicated, all those things done. And those things were done in test tubes. You could see people mixing things up. Now a lot of the work that's going on that's changing our country, changing our people, is stuff that's done in algorithms, right? You can't see that. So you don't really, I don't know that we have the emotional attachment that we would when we saw people go to the moon. But it's still happening, you know, still progressing in certain ways. Now, we have to protect ourselves from that progress sometimes. You know, what does AI mean? You know, what do some of these things mean?
We've had some shows on that already. But, Manny, let me ask you this. And we're coming to, you know, time flies by. But give us some words of wisdom for the future.
Listen to one another. Play with one another. Just enjoy one another. I just think if we just took time to do that and put these silly machines aside, it's amazing what you'll find out. You know, our likenesses are a lot more than our differences. I don't care what your color is, what your stature in the community is. I mean, people are people. If we just learn to spend time with each other, I think we'd be much better off.
Mary, one final thought from you. And I want to ask you a question, and I'll let you say this. How do we get better?
That's a great question. You know, I agree with what Manning said, but I do think we have to recognize, you know, there are bad people in this world. There are bad people in this community. There are bad people in this state, in this country. They're just bad people. And a lot of times I think we give the microphone to people who have ulterior motives, and they use that to profit. They use that to better their status in life or their stature in a community. And, you know, we just have to recognize, I think, first and foremost, that people that are bad for us shouldn't be given oxygen. You know, how do we sideline the bad people, I think, is really the... I think that's really part of life that we overlook, but is absolutely necessary.
Well, you mentioned something as we close this session of Real Talk here. And the gentleman, I can't thank you enough in terms of being here. And we're probably running a little bit over, but I'm going to indulge the folks at OTS Media to give us a little more airtime space because of the company we're keeping here today. We'll just leave it at that, and we'll let power deem where power deems. But the idea behind this is really, to me, very simply. You know, America was founded under an idealism to me. You mentioned John F. Kennedy, and one of my favorite quotes from him, some men see things as they are.
And say why?
Come on, gentlemen, we can quote, and other men see things as they are.
That never were.
And say why not.
Yeah.
Now, I believe that is the spirit of who we are, in spite of our economical differences sometimes, our political differences, our whatever that separates us that we deem to be. There is one gigantic, amazing thing about America that can never separate us if we're to, and that is patriotism. That is the love of country. It is disturbing to me to see sometimes the hate of the, and a lot of that comes from those that have not yet lived well enough to realize or enough knowledge. And you understand the freedom of speech. But I would caution everybody under the sound of our voices today, we're not here to say this is a perfect place. This is a place that's in motion. It is growing, just like we all are, spiritually, financially. As we age, things change, our needs change. But I'm going to tell you where true freedom comes from. When you're at peace with God, and you can be at peace with God and sit in the midst, peace is a permeating, atmospheric, changing thing, just like love. In the content of his Last Supper, Christ said to us, love one another as I have loved you. Happy birthday, America. This happy 4th of July, 250 years in. Let love prevail. Good morning, everybody. Real Talk is sponsored by Champion Services Incorporated, your local remodel and restoration company, and the Red Door Church,